I'm going to be, what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to talk about Christmas like we did last Wednesday night. And every doctrine in the Bible and every issue that comes up, there's always what we call ditches on both sides of the road. Some people go to the extreme. A good example of somebody going to the extreme on Christmas is Jehovah's Witnesses. They go to the extreme. I guess they ain't got nothing much to preach, so they just find something like Christmas to preach against. And they go overboard. I mean, they don't acknowledge any kind, no birthdays, no, not even ours, let alone the Lord's. No, nothing like that. And refuse to give Christmas gifts, put up trees, anything like that. It's all pagan. It's all heathen. Now, they do have a point. They do have a point. But at the same time, according to the Bible, a tree, like that tree right there, can't make you sin. A tree's neutral. It ain't good. It ain't bad. It's a tree. I told somebody the other day, I said, I can't imagine somebody preaching against a Christmas tree and they have a TV. You know, which is more dangerous to you, a TV or a Christmas? Really? I mean, Lord have mercy. But now, at the same time, you can go overboard the other way on Christmas and make it some kind of worshipful, wonderful. We all know that Jesus wasn't born in December. We all know that there's nothing magical or mystical about a tree. We know that about 80% of the stuff connected with Christmas is really a bunch of junk. It's a money-making racket. Now, where me and you fit in is somewhere in the middle somewhere. We fit in the middle and straight right down the middle. That's where the truth always is, right straight down the middle. You always got nuts that carry stuff to the extreme. And I had a preacher friend of mine. He said, "You ain't got one of them bell bushes in your house, do you?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I got a bell bush. You'll have to pray for me." And I said, I'm sorry. He said, "That's wicked." And he had lights all the way up around his house. I said, "Well, you got a bell house?" I don't know what a bell house is, but you know, he's saying that tree has heathen connection. And he's right, really. I mean, what he's saying is true. I mean, I've read all that stuff. I know. But in my mind, I ain't worshiping a tree. I don't know. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about something a little bit more serious, brethren and sistren. It's going to be a little bit different. There's one part of Christmas that can't be justified at all. I can live with the tree, buying presents. You buy them, I'll open them. I'm a firm believer in that. Amen. I love Christmas presents. And I can't buy one for all of y'all because there's too many of you. But there's only one of me. And everybody can buy me a nice present. I'm just kidding. I believe in all that. But there's one part of Christmas we can't justify. I don't care how hard you try. And that is what? Santa Claus. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Ain't no way. Did you know the average church here in this part of the country still has Santa Claus come down the aisle at Christmas and give out gifts? I get in trouble every year for this. They called us a cult one time. Somebody said, "That's a cult." He told the kids there wasn't no Santa Claus. You remember a few years ago? Was it your bus, Brother Mike? I got out on the bus one Sunday morning. It was packed full of kids. I said, "All right, everybody shut up. We're going to get in here. We're going to give you..." I said, "Santa Claus got killed in a car wreck last night." Everybody was laughing and everything. And oh my goodness. Man, I got a phone call. Kids didn't get to come back. They would not let kids come back to our church. I went over and talked to this lady. And she said, "Well, I just think it's awful that you just ruined these kids' Christmas." I mean, and I said, "Look, lady, I didn't ruin these kids' Christmas. They don't care where that stuff comes from. Tell them, I never told my kids there's a Santa Claus. They couldn't care less. They just want a present. Amen. I don't want him getting credit for stuff that I worked and paid for. I paid for it, brother. I want to hug my neck and not sit on his lap and think you big hypocrite. He ain't never brought nobody nothing." Amen. Somebody said that it would warp your kids' personality if you told them that there was no Santa Claus. I said, "It didn't." I said, "It didn't warp my kids' personality. I mean, they're warped, but Santa Claus didn't do it. It wasn't Santa Claus that made them like that. They, I remember when I was growing up, we'll have a little confession time here tonight. You just want to have a little, some honest confession. Since, you know, we got a lot of folks not here tonight, and such, see, it's a smaller crowd. Let's have some confessions. I remember when I was little, Mom always said, "Now Santa Claus is coming. You gotta go to bed. And the closest I ever come to really, really believing in Santa Claus, one time Mom left him a fruit cake and some coffee, and she left on this table in a note, "Santa, you know, if you're hungry, you can eat this tonight." And I remember thinking, "Now he ain't gonna come in here and eat that. Surely not." Well, you know what they done? After we went to bed, Mom and Daddy went in there and cut out about a third of it, you know, and drunk the coffee and put a note, "Thank you," from Santa and all that. And they got the next morning and said, "Well, he ate his fruit cake and everything." And I remember that's one time, and I must have been about seven years old. I remember thinking, "You reckon he really did come in here and eat that?" That's the closest I come to believing in him. But I still had my doubts about him. But now other people, they believe in him, brother, just like, I mean, they believe in that light right there. I mean, the little kids, they just know it's true. I was always real skeptical, but they about had me that time. They come in a hair hat. And you know something, people? I know somebody that was about 13 or 14, and their daddy come in and finally told them the truth, said there wasn't no Santa Claus, and they about passed out. They said, "I just got dizzy like that." Said, "I felt like I was going to pass out." And I thought, ain't that something? But now, I'm going to give you a bunch of things about how Santa Claus has stole the glory from Jesus at Christmas. That's what I'm going to do tonight. And if that's heresy, make the most out of it. If that makes us a cult, so be it, brother. But I'm going to tell you, there's one big thing about Santa Claus. You don't have to study St. Nick, which we're going to. You don't have to study all the... I had all got Nicholas Claus. That's where it comes from. St. Nicholas, leave off the Nick Claus, and they call him St. Claus. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, like that. And that's how it turned into Santa Claus. And I'll show you that in a minute. You don't even have to study all that. You don't have to study history. You don't have to study whether or not St. Nicholas really existed, which there's no evidence to prove that there was really even such a person. You don't have to study the background of Christmas. You just have to know one thing. It's a lie. It's a flat, loud lie to tell kids that somebody flies through the air and comes down your chimney and leaves you presents and goes to everybody in the whole world's house in one night. That is a lie. That's a lie. And boy, you'll get you in more trouble. I'll get in trouble for it this year, guarantee it. People say, "You're spoiling the fun of Christmas." Kids, they don't care. They don't care. It's Mom and Daddy's that gets mad about stuff like that. As long as I get my presents, I don't care if Charles Manson brings them, man. That's the way kids go. That's right. They don't care, brother. They don't care who it were. But Mom and Daddy's the one that give you a fit about Santa Claus. You know, we sing all them songs, "Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer," and we talk old junk like that. But tonight we're gonna show you how that, honest to goodness, the devil has used Santa Claus to usurp the place that Jesus Christ is supposed to have here at this time of year. There's nothing in the Bible that forbids us to honor the Lord's birth. There's nothing in the Bible that forbids us to give gifts to each other honoring Him. Nothing. There's nothing scriptural against that. If you carry it too far and make a God have a Christmas tree and believe all that kind of stuff, and all that, then you've done crossed the line. So what we're going to try to do is be balanced and you be sane, not be a bunch of idiots, and have our heads on straight. All right? Before I go any further and tell you about this, somebody, we're on some confessions here tonight. Who can give us a confession about when you first found out there was no Santa Claus? All right. I thought you was Santa Claus. Right? Yeah. Problem was, I fell through the window on the furnace. Men went to the house down below, so I went down there. Is that right? Well, I found my presents too. I mean, we snuck around. One night it was about Christmas time, and we went to this man's house, and Daddy said, "Now you can stay in the car." And you know, when you're little, you'd sit in the back seat, and Daddy opened the trunk, and I was in the back seat, and you can see up that little place. You know, there's a little place you can just see out, and I saw him rolling a bicycle out of this guy's garage, putting it in the trunk. And I remember thinking, well, I'm going to act like I didn't see it so I won't spoil it for Mom and Dad and act like I'm surprised. But I mean, I knew. How many of y'all have found your Christmas presents before Christmas? Okay, all right. All right, that should tell you something right there. Mom and Daddy's done bought them, paid for them, and everything. All right, who else wants to make a confession? Who else wants to make a confession when you found out there was no Santa Claus? You know, I've always wondered how come kids can't figure out that, you know, you can see him at Walmart and then you go over here at Rosie's and there he is there, but he looks a lot different. All them Santa Claus look different. And she says, I saw him over there too. Got my picture made with him twice. Anybody else want to make a confession? Since we're being honest here tonight, making confessions. So this means that the rest of you still believe in Santa Claus? Is that what this means? Brother Derek, you still believe in Santa Claus? You are Santa Claus. And so they say a man goes through three stages in life. First, he believes in Santa Claus. Then he don't believe in Santa Claus. Then he is Santa Claus. That's the three stages of life. All right, here we go. Let's get these things right quick. We're not going to keep you long. Bible said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It's dangerous to tell a kid a lie. That's dangerous. And we had a girl at Nebo Baptist Church one night. She's about 14. And that's when I got saved. Everybody was getting saved. Everybody in Nebo was getting saved. We had over 100 kids saved in that revival. And everybody and their brothers coming to church. It was on, buddy. I ain't kidding you. And one night there's a 14-year-old girl sitting in the back. And she's just bawling. And they kept saying, get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved. And I hadn't been saved but just a couple of few months, maybe April to December, and close along in that time. And she kept saying, I don't want to get saved. And they said, come on, get saved. She said, I don't want to get saved. And they said, come on, get saved. And finally they said, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, I'll tell you. She said, when I was little, everybody said, there's a Santa Claus, there's a Santa Claus, there's a Santa Claus, there's a Santa Claus. And then when I grew up, they told me there wasn't one. She said, now everybody's saying, there's a Jesus, there's a Jesus, there's a Jesus. When I get older, they're going to tell me he ain't real. And boy, it hit me like bam. And I mean, I don't understand people that's been in church for 30 years and that still ain't hit them. I don't understand that. It hit me. I was 18 years old. I thought, oh my goodness. That's the damage that a white lie can do. And there ain't no such thing as a white lie. All lies are just lies. And it's like a tooth fairy and Easter bunny and all that stuff. It just ain't true. And we think, oh, it's just fun. We don't really mean nothing by it. But that girl, that kept that girl from getting saved. The devil used that on her to keep her from getting saved. That's serious business. Now, Christmas tree, have one or don't have one. I don't care. Buy presents, whatever you want to do. But when it comes to Santa Claus, we've got Scripture. We have Scripture that's against telling kids there's a Santa Claus. We have Scripture against that. Amen? Anybody want to say something? I'm going to give you these things. Yeah. No. As long as you don't tell her a lie. He don't fly. He don't give her presents. You know, as long as you don't lie to him. He's like SpongeBob with a red. There you go. Ain't that something? Wow. Yeah, it is. See, he's thinking. He's up there with Jesus, man. He knows everything. You know. That's right. That's where the world... And see, what the devil has done... Have you ever noticed how Santa looks just like Satan with the words switched around a little bit? That's weird, ain't it? S-A-N-T-A or S-A-T-A-N? That's weird. But the devil has just slipped him in there. He gets the credit. He gets the credit that we're supposed to be giving the Lord. All right. Here we go. Number one, he's omniscient. Omniscient. That's a character that only God has. Omniscient means all knowledge. That means he knows everything. Omni means all. Omniscient means knowledge, like science. All knowledge. There ain't nothing that he don't know. Did you know they've done that same thing to Santa? They've attributed that omniscience to Santa Claus. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So, see, he knows everything. See, he's sitting up at the North Pole right now, getting his last few days' work in, and he knows every one of us in here if we've been bad or good, and he knows if you're asleep, and he knows if you're awake. That's omniscience. Nobody has that but God. No, the devil's not even omniscient. The devil don't know everything. I heard one preacher tell, like Brother Braille, you've probably heard him say it too, said, a lot of times the devil wouldn't know half as much as he did if we'd keep our big mouth shut. He don't know everything. The devil don't. He's not all-knowing. Santa Claus is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows where you live. He knows every little Chinese kid in the world. He knows every little Japanese kid in the world. And he's omniscient. Know that? He's omnipotent. What does that mean? Omnipotent. Potent means strength. All strength. Omnipotent. Omnipotent. That means he can do anything. He can do anything. A man that can fly through the air with reindeers and come down chimneys that's got buck stoves stuck in them now and somehow miraculously get presents under your tree, it can do anything. He's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. That's an attribute that belongs to Jesus Christ only. That's blasphemy. It's blasphemy to attribute one of his attributes to somebody else. It's also a lie. So we got scripture against this, folks. I can preach about that. Amen? And the Lord and the Bible will back me up. Some of the other stuff about Christmas, you know, it's up to you and your own conviction. But I'm telling you, when it comes to this, they're scripture. And so he's omnipotent. Not only that, he's omnipresent. Now, if omni means all, present, all present, he's everywhere at once. He can see everybody in the world right now. He's mad at me right now because I'm talking against him. He ain't going to bring me nothing. Well, guess what? He ain't never brought me nothing even when I did believe in him. He's a liar. He can't see me right now. He can't see you right now. But see, what the devil has done, he slipped in this counterfeit to make you get your eyes off Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, kids all year long are taught to be good for Santa Claus, not Jesus. Ain't that right? People say, now you better be good. Santa Claus is watching you. You ain't going to get nothing. He's seen that. He's seen you. He heard you, seen you slap your sister. You ain't going to get nothing. That's right. That's what and really, we should be telling our kids, Jesus is watching you. I don't think you ought to tell your kids Santa Claus is watching them. I don't think you ought to tell your kids there's a boogeyman under their bed to make them be good. That's a lie, I guess. They might be one under there. But you ought to tell them Jesus is watching them. Jesus is watching them. He's going to reward them. So he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. Not only that, he's faithful. People say Santa Claus is faithful. What he promises something, you'll get it. Kids tell their, a mama tell their little kids, now you've got to believe him. You've got to have faith in Santa Claus. When he says he'll bring you something, he'll do it. Yeah, right, whatever. He's righteous. He's righteous. He can do no wrong. He makes no mistakes. He always makes it. It doesn't matter how deep it snows, he'll be here. He'll fly through the air, thunderstorm, lightning. Nothing can stop him. He's worshipped. They love him and adore him. Their heart jumps when they see him. The little kids go to the mall. There he is, honey. There he is. I didn't see him. You know, Lord, they stand in line. I've seen them stand in line from here to the highway out there at the mall. The little kids standing there waiting to get their picture took. Kiss him on the cheek. Tell, you know, hug his neck. And he ain't bringing them nothing. He ain't bringing them nothing. He's worshipped in the... Wouldn't it be great if we taught our kids to feel that way about Jesus? Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come. Listen, everybody in here, we ought to teach our kids. Don't let your kids hear you say, oh, gosh, it's Wednesday night. I don't want to go tonight. I mean, you're ruining your kids' idea of God when you talk like that in front of them. Don't ever let your kids hear you say, oh, Lord, I don't want to go to church. If I don't, He'll preach about it. You know what? Boy, you adore Him. You know, you really adore Him. Listen, oh, come, let us adore Him. Man, be lined up just like going to see Santa Claus. If we taught our kids about Jesus right, He's going to bring us gifts. He's coming and His reward is with Him. And He's coming from the north. He's going to come and reward everyone according to their works. See how the devil just switched on Santa Claus. I've heard people say, yeah, Santa Claus ain't going to bring you nothing either. Trying to make their kids behave. Not only that, He's no respecter of persons. He loves everybody, red and yellow, black and white, you know. His coming is looked forward to more than any other single event of the year. The coming of Santa Claus. Not the coming of Jesus. Not the second coming of Christ. I know some of you, you're sitting there saying, well, Brother Danny, why don't you just lay off stuff? It's no big deal. That bothers me. We're supposed to be looking for the coming of Jesus, people. The Lord's coming back. It bothers me that the devil has made us look more forward to Santa Claus coming than it does the Lord coming. The kid's going to sing that song in a play. I like it. It said, oh, you better not, whatever, however it goes. What does it say? Better watch out. Better not cry. Better not do something or other. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming again. That's good. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you cheat at school and act like you eat your food and disobey your mom and daddy. Oh, you better be good. You better straighten up and get saved. You better plead the blood. Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen? That's right. The truth is, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Amen? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Jesus does look at you. He sees you everywhere you go, right through them walls. He knows your thoughts. He knows the hairs on your head. I mean, that's how powerful the Lord is. Some guy had a bumper sticker on their car said, the Lord has all the hairs on your head numbered. And in parentheses it said, and your wig too. He knows how many hairs in your wig, brother. Amen. Is it wrong to tell truth? No. Is it wrong to tell a lie? Yes or no? All right. I don't want him getting the credit that the Lord deserves. Amen? Somebody figured it up, and they said to go to all the houses in the world in one night, Santa Claus would have to travel 800 miles a second. That's moving on, ain't it? Amen. Well, let me give you just a little bit thing here, and if you want to say something, you can. Here's how it got started. You got to listen to this part now. According to legend, where does Santa Claus come from? Saint Nicholas. They had a cult of Saint Nicholas before the Reformation. This is like before in the 1400s, 1500s. There were over 2,000 ecclesiastical dedications. That means churches to Saint Nicholas in France, Germany, and the Low Countries before 1500, honoring him. The Christmas Almanac states, quote, by the Middle Ages, St. Nicholas was probably invoked in prayer more than any other figure except the Virgin Mary and Jesus Christ himself. They prayed to him, St. Nicholas. He was a miraculous folklore and legend surround this mysterious St. Nicholas. Among the more popular legends of St. Nicholas is the rescue of three poverty-stricken girls destined for prostitution. Because these girls were very poor, they didn't have a dowry to have a proper marriage. St. Nicholas miraculously saved them from a life of shame by providing money for them. Then they were able to get married. Another miracle he performed was three young boys were murdered by a wicked innkeeper. Their bodies were chopped up and preserved in pickle barrels with a cannibalistic intent of feeding their flesh to unsuspecting house guests. And St. Nicholas resurrected the boys and brought them back to life, and their mutilated bodies were come up, and they started calling him St. Nick, St. Nick, Santa Nick, and left up a Nick Claus, Santa Claus. I guess it is. You got it, brother. That was the ho-ho-hos right there, them three girls. There you go. Amen. Amen. Now they're mad at Santa Claus because he calls them hoes, like Don Imus did and got fired for it. I think Santa Claus ought to say ho-ho-ho. Amen. Amen. He ought to go to every concert where rappers are and do his little rap. And he smokes pipe now. They're mad about that. You heard that? That's the latest this week. He smokes a pipe. Bad example for kids. Tell him he flies through the air. Tell him he comes down the chimney. Whatever you want to tell him. But Lord, don't let him smoke. They said Hillary went and seen a movie. It's no joke. Hillary Clinton went and seen a movie. And she was disappointed. It just really disappointed her that one of those Hollywood actors smoked a cigarette in that movie. You can cuss, take God's name in vain, take your clothes off, whatever. But if you smoked a cigarette, Hillary was disappointed. That shows she is missing some stuff upstairs, brother. Well, anyway, let me finish this. Next, according to legend, Santa magically appears in the Netherlands around the 17th century. During this time, Sinterklaas, a name for Santa Claus, Sinter, S-I-N-T-E-R, was officially born. Now listen to this now, and you're going to learn something that ain't hardly nobody in Walmart knows right now, because they're at Walmart, not here. Listen, Dutch children began the tradition of the Netherlands and Dutch children of placing their shoes by the fireplace on December the 5th for the mystic 4th century Bishop St. Nicholas, which was shortened to Sinterklaas, where we get our name Santa Claus. The next morning, the gleeful Dutch children quickly awoke to gifts and goodies in their shoes. And Sinterklaas miraculously traveled from housetop to housetop, entering through the chimney. That started in 1500s. So these kids took their shoes off and put them by the fireplace, and the next morning when they got up, they had goodies in their shoes. There's where the stocking come from, right? And you hang your stocking up. I got mine hung over my chimney right now. Go ahead, Brother Jason. That's right, December 5th. That's the night, ain't it? Well, we better put our shoes out here. Let's all put our shoes. That was the stinkiest place up in here. And tomorrow we'll come back and see if somebody's filled them with goodies. All right, our next stop on the Santa Claus Highway is 1626 in the new world called America. In December 1809, American essayist Washington Irving published a popular satire of the Dutch founding of New York, A Knickerbocker History of New York. That's where the New York Knicks come from, 1800. And they said this, "A sage dreamed a dream, and lo, the good St. Nicholas came riding over the tops of the trees in that selfsame wagon wherein he brings his yearly presents to the children. And when St. Nicholas had smoked his pipe," listen to this now, "he twisted it in his hat band and laying his finger on his nose," you know, quickly out of sight, you know, "and dash away, dancer, prancer, dancer, Donna Dixon." I forgot all them reindeer. I'll show you who's a fanatic in here. Who can name all the reindeer? All right, let's hear you, brother. Who can name all the reindeer? $5. Anybody can name all the reindeer? I can't hear you. Now Dasher, now Prancer, now Comet, now Dixon. Cupid. Is there one named Cupid? Well, you just can't do it. Lost your $5. All right, let's hear it. $5 run out. Let's hear it. Y'all can't even name all the rain. I don't even know how many they are. Well, let's hear them. You know them, Sandy P? Fail. Dasher. Rudolph. Forgot him. Comet. Donner. Donna. One of them named Donna. Elvis, he's one. How many is that? But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph! You left out Rudolph, you don't get your $5. Anyway, he laid his finger beside his nose like this. Ain't that what he did in the poem, The Night Before Christmas? Yeah, with a little nod. And he shot up in the sky. He was in a UFO, though. He's imitating UFOs. He had a very significant look. Then mounting his wagon, he returned over the treetops and disappeared. That's where it come from. 1809. And then they started hanging up a stocking in the chimney on St. Nicholas Eve, which stocking is always found in the morning, miraculously filled. He's been good, ever been a great giver of gifts, particularly to children. I got a whole book here on that stuff, wrote by a preacher friend of mine. All right, any questions? We're going to stop right there. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All you kids in here tonight, you ain't getting nothing for Christmas. Nothing. You bunch of brats have been mean, and you ain't getting squat this year. Nope, you ain't going rebellious spirit will not work. Nobody getting nothing. No, I'm just kidding. You'll get whatever your mom and daddy buys you, and you hug their neck and tell them you appreciate it. And if you say, hush, then if you see Santa Claus at the mall, I have some of my brethren took what I said and went to the extreme, you know, and kids will say, oh, you're the devil. Yeah, made a big scene in the mall. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't get self-righteous on, you know. And I remember spitting on Santa Claus and kicking him, you know.